Well, the biggest event in the nation's calendar per year. Can you guess what event is it is? What event for the whole nation? It's the National Day, isn't it? And we all know what to expect. Firstly, because it is repeated every year. And every year, a week before, we have a dress rehearsal. However, in the Christian's calendar, there is one event much, much bigger than National Day. And that event is such a wonderful event. You cannot imagine what will happen when Jesus returns. Nowadays, from time to time, we repeat the message and you say, hey, we heard it some time ago. Why are you still talking about second coming of Jesus? Can you venture an answer to that question? Why are we still talking about it? Answer is, firstly, many of us just treat it as, well, something. Well, it's coming, but we cannot imagine what it will be. And secondly, because they've never seen it happen, they cannot imagine what a wonderful event it will be. May I just, therefore, in introduction, impress on your mind that this is something most stupendous, something you cannot imagine, something that will change your whole life instantly when Jesus returns. We all understand that we are here because Jesus died for us, and He rose from the dead for us to conquer death. And we know that believing in Him, we have everlasting life. But how does that everlasting life translate into actual terms of living? How is it? When Jesus comes, it will all be evident. That is the blessing and the beauty and the urgency of knowing more about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus redeemed us, but the results of this redemption are not yet known. All we know is by faith we sit here, we come every Lord's Day, we worship Him, we believe in Him, we trust in Him, all the time looking forward to an event. True? Yes, it is. However, to this afternoon, we are going to learn something from God's Word. Now, by the way, my time is limited because I have to hurry back for our evening meeting. And Brother Siu Choi, who brought me here, in case there are any who wish to take a lift, can you give three people a lift? We have space for three to four. So if you want to go to the meeting and want to follow and get a free lift, when I walk out, you follow. Okay, three to four, maximum four. Now, we come to the topic in hand. Please follow me with the notes so that you not get confused or lost. The results of the Lord's redemptive work will not be evident until He comes again. That is why it is so important. And when He comes, please understand, it is a one and for all event. There is no way to say, Lord, wait. Please, wait a while. There is no waiting. When He returns, it is climactic. It is sudden. It is never to be repeated. And a string of events will happen immediately. This is the first. Now, what are the events? We want to enumerate them one by one. Parallel one. First, Jesus will appear in the clouds of heaven. Do you remember the day when Jesus rose to heaven? And suddenly as he was talking, he lifted up in a cloud, and then he went higher and higher and disappeared. And then two angels said to the men of Galilee, "Why are you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus shall come in like manner." How will he come? From the heaven, down on the cloud. First there will be a trumpet call, and then one event. The first event is the dead in Christ shall rise from the graves. You say, how about those that are eaten by sharks? How about those who are cremated? Can we answer? What difference is it whether they are eaten by sharks or drowned in the sea and eaten, or cremated or buried? All of them have dissolved into the elements. You know, our bodies are made up of the usual elements, and you can reduce them into all the elements, the 92 elements, and that's it. Now, where are the elements? They are all dissolved in the ground. When Jesus returns, the great Creator, by his creating power, recreates us, and out of the ground will come all those who have believed and died, no matter how they were disposed of, whether by burial or cremation, they will come first. The dead in Christ will rise first. Paragraph 1. Number 2. As soon as they rise from the dead, we, supposing the rest will come now, what will happen? All of us here who are true believers instantly will be transformed. 1 John 3:2 is a verse you should remember. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God?" Yes, we say we are sons of God. You walk into society and you appear no different from the unbelievers, right? Yes, no different. How do we differentiate? 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God? Yet it does not appear what we shall be. When will we know we are the sons of God?" Answer is, when Jesus appears. Now this is a great, wonderful, marvelous truth. Can you follow? When Jesus appears, suddenly all of us here who are believers will be changed, transformed in the twinkling of an eye. How fast does it take to twinkle your eye? Scientists have measured the time, you know. 1/400 seconds. 1 second is tick-tock. And the twinkling of an eye is 1/400 of a second. You and I will be changed. And we will all be given supernatural bodies by the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. Now, can you imagine this? As I said, there is no dress rehearsal. There's no such thing as we come one day and all this will be run first, and for us all to have a preview. No. Only the word of God says, when the trumpet sounds, Jesus comes down, all the dead in Christ rise first. They go up. And we immediately follow. So there will be a rising, a great crowd of witnesses. Transform, going up as like spacemen, except without space suits. You know, today you want to go to the moon. Is it possible? Yes. But you got to go through training, and you got to don that space suit. There you go. All right. The last sentence of this verse is, "So shall we ever be with the Lord." It's something that it is once for all. You will never be again separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so wonderful. And for those of you, if you have a loved one, whether it is father or mother or some who have lost their children when they were infants or children. You've been hurting so much, wishing you could see those of your loved ones again. On that day, it will be fulfilled. Suddenly, so and so, your wife or husband, father or mother, will appear. Now, question, will you know them? Do you recognize them at all? Okay, wow. So many years have passed. How can I recognize so and so? In fact, I was in Melbourne. We founded a church, and then one night, a van load of the people were going to the expo in Brisbane. And in the night, they crashed, and two people died. So this child, growing up as a boy, when the father died, he was about 4 or 5 years old. Now he's 10 or 12. He says, "Doctor, when I go to heaven, can I recognize my father?" I said, "Absolutely. Our intelligence and our understanding will change. We will not be in this form of body as we are today. We well shall be changed. And then we have superior intelligence when we say so and so. And it will be such a wonderful reunion for you to see your father." Ah, this young man was so happy. Today he's no more young, he's about 30 odd, because the event was 26 years ago. All right. Number 2. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. Number 3. Will we recognize each other? Absolutely. The only thing different is there will be no male and female anymore. Sexuality is given to us on earth only to be fruitful and multiply and populate the earth. In heaven, we do not need to do that anymore. So, you say, how will husband and wife appear? We will all be given different sexless bodies. As I said, you've got to understand this. The feature and gift of sex is only given to mortals at the first creation. When God recreates us and revives us from the dead, there will be no more sex differentiation. Point number 4. Those who are alive and remain unto then will be changed, and suddenly you find you are like spacemen. We all go up weightless. Number 5, what next? If we may read into scripture, we want to know the sequence of events. All the scripture says is we all go up. Now, where do we go up to and what for? Answer, it is here. In number 5, if you turn to Revelation 19:9, then we can follow the sequence of events. Please turn now to Revelation chapter 19. All right. Every time we have the Lord's Supper, we remind ourselves that that eating has a looking forward. Jesus said at the Last Supper, what did he say? "I shall not drink with you the fruit of the vine anymore until we drink it together in my Father's kingdom." Here it is. Revelation 19:9. Is an event we all look forward to. The great banquet. I was at the wedding dinner last night. And as you know, wedding dinners are always very grand and happy. Now this is like a wedding dinner, except it will be on a grand scale. And it is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Answer. the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for us. Our Lord Jesus is the Lamb. And on that day you say, huh, who's the bridegroom? Who's the bridegroom? Well, He is the bridegroom. We are the bride. All right. Verse 9. Revelation 19:9. He said to me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he says unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Amen. Can you remember this verse? Revelation 19:9. You will be there. If you are a true believer, you must be there. On that day, you will be there. Automatically, the Lord will bring you there. And it is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. What is the church referred to? Do you know? The Apostle Paul says, I betroth you as a chaste virgin to the bridegroom. Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. And we are the bride. Here it is. On that day will be a great banquet, and the marriage supper of the Lamb will include all of us as the bride of the Lamb. Number 6. Thereafter we shall join as part of the armies of heaven. For that we have to read down to verse 14. We'll see 11 first. Read on from verse 11. And I saw heaven open. Now this is the vision seen by John the Apostle. And gives us. Now this is the preview. I mentioned just now the National Day has a preview. But for us, the Lord's coming has no preview except you got to read it here. This is the preview.
Verse 19. In verse 11 of chapter 19, I saw heaven open, and the white horse who sat on it was called
Faithful and True. Who else can be faithful and true? Who could this person be
but our Lord Jesus? And in righteousness, He will judge and make war with all His enemies.
Please understand, today the world is under a great power. The greatest military power on earth today is what? Can you guess what nation? Greatest military power on earth is one. United States of America. And does the United States of America believe that Jesus Christ is coming? Answer is no. The president is called Mr. Obama. And he is as antichrist as anybody else. Antichrist. His one concern is how to promote peace in his country and social progress. And to promote homosexuality in America. This is the man.
Now, on that day, the Lord Jesus will judge on all these. Verse 11, the white horse, and he who sits on it, riding the horse down to earth, is called Faithful and True.
Who else is worthy to be called Faithful and True but our Lord Jesus Christ? He is. His other name is the Word of God, Faithful and True.
And in righteousness, He will judge and make war on all those who oppose.
Oppose what? Dear friends, here we are worshipping today. We all have been blessed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Christ, Son of God, died for us to cleanse us from our sins. And when you trust and believe in Him, you and I have eternal life. And you have a part in the second coming of Jesus. You have a part in the coming heaven. And you have a part in the marriage supper of the Lamb.
And when Jesus comes down on earth, you will be riding on white horses in company with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, more about the Lord Jesus. Verse 12. His eyes, the eyes of Jesus, were like a flame of fire. His head wore many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he. And verse 13.
This is very revealing. Verse 13.
Please follow. He was clothed with a vesture, that is, with a gown dipped in blood, and his name is called
the Word of God. We all know that his name is called the Word of God.
The living Word of God will now come in flesh and blood down from heaven. Verse 14, now comes your turn. If you are a part of those who were taken up and were at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the armies which were in heaven followed him.
Who are these armies? Answer, those who have trusted and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All were raptured, taken up.
The dead first, and all of us who are alive will be changed, and we'll all go up. Now we come down. Come upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth, is the mouth of Jesus, goes a sharp sword. How does Jesus judge the nations, rebuke the nations? Answer, with his word. Every word that comes out is, as it were, like a sword, to judge the nations and to punish the opponents. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Verse 16. And here is his name.
Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Dear friends, know him now and acknowledge him and love him
as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Alright, that is up to there now. Verse 7. My notes now, please. Number 7. The Lord from heaven will then judge in perfect righteousness the rebellious men on earth, the beasts, and the kings of the earth, and their armies shall be defeated. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. Here is Revelation chapter 19, verse 19 and 20. Let's read together.
Are you there? Verse 19.
Verse 19 says, I saw the beast. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake by burning with brimstone.
Read more about these two brutal leaders in Revelation chapter 13. Read yourself, please. Make a little note. When you go home, sit down and spend some time. How the whole earth will be dominated by two great leaders. I read into it my interpretation for what it is worth. You can quote me. The first beast who rules military power is the President of the United States. The second beast who assists the first beast and who causes all to worship is the Pope. Right. Now keep this to yourself. Read it when you go home. What chapter? Chapter 13. And you read it there. These two will be judged by Jesus Christ. Today, you know the most powerful man, not militarily, but socially and numerically, The most powerful man today is the Pope. You do not know. Yes, you say, wow, it's a church. Roman Catholic Church. So powerful. Yes, it is. It is the most greatest deception the world has ever known. And his power is held by one man. And he calls his name Holy Father, Vicar of Christ, and Head of the Church, the three names of God. And he is worshipped. Do you know that he is regularly worshipped? If you don't believe, I'll show you the photographs. He's regularly worshipped as God. I had a patient. I was quoting my patient in the days when I was in practice, not now. And he said, Doctor, I'm going to Manila. I said, what are you going for? Going to see the Pope. Oh, why? He's coming for a visit. When he came to Manila, 1 million people lined the streets. Can you imagine how many people say 1 million? Oh, when it's 10,000, he said, oh, big crowd. This is 1,000 times 1,000. 1 million. So when he came back, he said, wow, it was great. I had to sleep outside for 2 nights, you know, to get a place to see the Pope, His Holiness. When he came, wow, we all bowed down. And then he cried, close enough, if possible, to kiss him. So happy. God. Do you know? Today, the Pope is an ongoing, self-perpetuating post of honor. Whereas the President of Singapore, every 5 years change. Right? President of America, every 4 years change. You can be powerful, but after 4 years, you are nothing. Here, the position of the Pope is self-perpetuating. How big is the Roman Catholic Church, do you know? How big is your papal church? All the papal churches in Singapore combined together, I think not even 5,000. Oh no, just a pittance, a drop in the ocean. How big is the Roman Catholic Church, do you know? Can you tell me? How big is it? 1,200 million. Million. If all our BP churches combine, you have to multiply by a few thousand to get that number. A few thousand. It is so powerful. On that day, God will judge them. Jesus Christ will judge them. So you deceive the people with the name of King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and Head of the Church, so powerful, and He's called His Holiness. Oh, He's so holy. People came overnight, 2 nights, in order to get a glimpse of this great man. On that day, it says here, they will be judged. Number 7, please follow. The Lord from heaven will then judge in perfect righteousness the beasts, the kings of the earth, the armies. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet.
To read this in detail, please make a note there. Read Revelation 13, chapter 13.
Number 8, Revelation chapter 20 further describes the judgment of Satan.
Now, these men are so deceived. You ask, how did they come deceived? How? Who deceived them? Answer is Satan. Satan was the one who first deceived Adam and Eve. Remember? When Eve was in the garden alone, came Satan and said, hello. Who said you can't eat the tree, the fruit of the tree? God doesn't want you to be smart, you know. You eat it, you become very intelligent. And so she fell for it. Tempter is called Satan. On that day, Satan will be judged. What number am I? Can somebody tell me? Number 8. All right. The Revelation 20 further describes the judgment of Satan. Then the believers of all ages, including us, the raptured saints, will reign with him 1,000 years. Where do you get this from? You know, there are many Christians who do not believe this. They are the people who are called the Amen. Amillennium. They do not believe in the millennium. But it is mentioned so many times in God's word. Why do they not believe? Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Can you follow me, please? Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that had a part in the first resurrection. There are two resurrections, please understand. One is the first resurrection is for believers. The second resurrection is for unbelievers. And it will come at the end of the 1,000 years. And they will be resurrected for judgment. We are resurrected for blessing and reward. Now, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he, is you, you and I. We have a part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. How it will be, I cannot understand, cannot imagine, I cannot visualize. But we know if God's word says so, it is so. I believe it, and that's it. I don't have to puzzle myself and argue. What verse says it? Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Now, look at number 9. Number 9. At the end of 1,000 years will be the final judgment of Satan and the great white throne judgment of the wicked unrepentant. They will be caught up from death. Many people say in Hokkien, see swat. This is self-deluding. They just comfort, I die, finish. I go to sleep and finish. Is that so? Please let me ask you, when you were born, did somebody consult you and say, hey, would you like to be born? No. We're put here. We're put here into planet Earth to live our life, and on that life, you will be judged. And when the time comes, you are taken out. Nobody asks you whether you like to die or not. You're just taken out. Now, after death, we all sleep in the ground. Jesus says, the day is coming when the dead in the earth shall hear the voice of the Son of Man. And when they hear the word rise, they will all rise from the dead. Please understand, we do not control our own destinies. We're put here to hear the gospel, either accept or reject. When you go, you return to where you came from. God will then raise up all of us. Two resurrections. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And the ones who are resurrected first time will not die a second time. Those who are resurrected the second time will die two deaths. It's a horrible death. All right. Verse 9, please. My notes number 9. At the end of 1,000 years will be the final judgment of Satan, the great deceiver. And this will be called the great white throne judgment of the wicked unrepentant. And this is described in Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 to 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life of the Lamb was cast into the lake of fire, and that will burn forever and ever. Oh, dear friends, for this reason, let's go and tell all our loved ones. Escape the wrath to come. As I said, we are not here of our own volition. We go not of our own volition. There is a great power over us, God Almighty. And He has offered us salvation today. Those who believe will be spared from the judgment to come at the great white throne. Escape that judgment. Avoid it, dear friends. Do not go there. Because that judgment is for the judgment of damnation. Do not go there. Point number 10. Now, the last two chapters of Revelation 20 and 21 and 22 conclude God's revelation of the course of history, the grand finale. How will things end? This is the creation of a new heaven and new earth, with God reigning over His redeemed people in eternal peace, righteousness, perfection from the capital city of Jerusalem. You know, there is only one city in the whole of planet Earth that has a twin city in heaven. Only one. Not Singapore, I can assure you. But the name of that city is called Jerusalem, God's city of peace. There is one in heaven coming. There is now one in Israel that is hotly contested between Arabs and Israel. Make sure, dear friends, that you will be a citizen of the New Jerusalem. Now, my time is almost up because I have to go back to Pandan. A word about the millennium. What will it be like on earth during the millennium, the 1,000 years? Number one here, not much is written in God's word, but enough for our comfort and assurance. Please turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I thank God for the man called Paul. Saul, the enemy of the gospel, God called him, and he became such a wonderful servant. He wrote half the New Testament. And here in the in Romans chapter 8, verse 21, 22, 23. Are you there? Romans 8, 21. All right, please follow. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, or if you like to use one word, curse. Bondage of corruption, read curse. Read again this. And for creature, read creation. Verse 21. Because the creation also shall be delivered from the curse into the glorious liberty of salvation grace of the children of God. When Jesus returns, there will be no more flooding over Bangkok. You will never be caught in an earthquake anymore, nor tsunami or typhoon. You know, you don't live in the land like Philippines. Every year, 2, 3, 4 typhoons will sweep over the land and killing dozens, if not hundreds of people. When Jesus returns, the whole planet Earth will be restored. Where does it say so? Romans 8:21. I read to you, Romans. Because the creation also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. For bondage of corruption, you read one word, curse.
Do you remember that in the Garden of Eden, when men sin, God says, now on the whole creation, the curse comes over. And that curse means typhoon, earthquakes, tsunamis, flooding, torrential rain, even Orchard Road flooding. That will not happen anymore. Verse 22. We know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain until now, as it were, when the earthquakes come and the winds howl. Is that as it were the whole creation groaneth, travaileth in pain? Why should we suffer all these typhoons? Suddenly the wind goes blowing at 200 kilometers an hour and all the flights cannot take off. Why? Because the whole earth is under curse. Verse 23. And not only they, that is the mountains and the earth and the clouds and the sky, all these. Verse 23. Not only they, we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, today we are here because we have the first fruits of the Spirit. We know we are redeemed because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We know we are saved. We have the first fruits of the Spirit already. To know our sins are cleansed and washed by the blood of the Lamb. Read on, verse 23. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of our body. Do you know that when Jesus comes, those of you who wear glasses, you don't need glasses anymore immediately. Poor people coming on wheelchairs, you throw your wheelchairs away. Instantly you are restored to full health and strength. Those coming on crutches, throw away the crutches. How about those sick in hospital, cannot move? All of them will jump out of hospital beds, normal again. When Jesus comes, read verse 23. Not only they, we ourselves also, who are the first fruits of the Spirit. You know, I'm a Christian, but when I'm sick, I can't help it. I have to have a heart bypass. Or in my case, I have a pacemaker, because if I don't, the heart wants to stop and I die. Well, suddenly all these things are redundant. Throw them away. Crutches, wheelchairs, all kinds of aids to living. No need anymore. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting. Why is it? Ever since I became a believer, why is it I still suffer from headaches, backaches? All kinds of sicknesses still afflict me. I have the first fruits of the Spirit of God. I know my sins are cleansed and forgiven in Jesus Christ. Why do I still suffer? This is what this verse says. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for what? For the adoption. What is the adoption? The change that will come on us when Jesus returns. This is the most comforting thing that you can have. Today, so many are worried, don't know whether I have cancer. If I got cancer, it was a terrible thing. Terrible thing. I have a friend just last week went for resection of the colon. Why? Cancer stage 1. Afterwards, wow, not enough. They found the lymph nodes also got cancer. So what do you mean? Radiotherapy, chemotherapy, more therapy. What terrible. We're waiting for the adoption, waiting for Jesus to return. When Jesus returns, all the chemotherapists, radiotherapists out of job. No need of them. No need. Why? Because every disease is taken away. This is what it says here. And we're waiting for what? Redemption of the body. Right now we know our spirits and our souls are redeemed. We have everlasting life. But we still get sick. Yeah? When Jesus comes, all these sicknesses
will be a thing of the past. Dearly beloved, let us rejoice. There is such a wonderful salvation, Jesus Christ, when He comes back. Number two, the Word of God helps us to further appreciate the extent of our Lord's redemptive sacrifice. And not only they, we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is the redemption of our body. Number three, we have said this already, during the millennium there will be no more, the animal kingdom. In that day, amazing, all the animals become man-friendly. Is there anyone who is studying to be a vet doctor? Doctor of cats and dogs? You are also doctor of horses and lions and leopards and tigers? You know, the terrible thing is you dare not approach a tiger or a leopard because it may be eaten up alive. When Jesus comes, all the tigers and leopards and lions become tame. They sit down with the bullock, with the sheep, and eat grass. Amazing. Where does it say so? Please turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 11. And there we're going to see amazing things. Isaiah chapter 11. This book of Isaiah is a marvelous, wonderful book. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 7. Have you got it now? Isaiah chapter 11, verse 7. For those of you who are animal lovers, this is for you. You love. There's some people who love. The only thing you can love is dogs and cats. Yeah. I have a niece. Wow, suddenly she's got 5 cats. Every day she talks to the cats like human beings. Verse 7. We graduate beyond dogs and cats. Verse 7 says, the cow and the bear. Wow. You know what is a bear? We don't see them in Singapore. But they are 6, 7, 8 feet tall and that big. And when they come for you, you're going to run for your life. The cow and the bear will feed, and the young ones will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. What happened? Because Jesus died on the cross, He redeemed the whole creation also. When He comes, that redemption will be effective. Not now, not now, not now. Not now. I don't advise you. You go to the zoo, you go too near the lion, he'll eat it up. Even the keepers, from time to time, they say, wow, the keepers eaten up by the lion. Yeah? We read in the papers. Yes, because normally they're tame. Normally they know, oh, these are keepers that give us meat. But sometimes the lion forgets is the keeper and he eats up the keeper also. Verse 8, the suckling child will lead, they will play on the hole of the cobra. And the wind child shall put his hand into the venomous snake's den, no more. The snakes will no longer bite people and kill them, no more, no more. What happened? When Jesus died on the cross, all this was taken away. Verse 9, they shall not hurt anymore, nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth then shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You can read the rest for yourself. Number four, my point number four, read Isaiah chapters 11, 24, 65. And Jesus will rule from Jerusalem, and the whole world will acknowledge Jesus. Because He is the great King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Last paragraph of number 4, Isaiah 65 chapter says again, our Lord shall reign over a restored creation from Jerusalem. He is the Alpha and Omega. Number 5, natural disasters of turbulent weather, overwhelming rainfall, typhoons, hurricanes, earthquakes, no more. All organisms will no more cause disease and death.
You can eat siham. You can eat anything you like. No more will you die from typhoid or hepatitis. No more. All the organisms become man-friendly.
And number 6, the golden years will terminate one day
when God will create a new heaven
and a new earth that will be forever and ever and ever.
You and I will be inheritors of that new heaven and new earth, because the present earth renovated will last only 1,000 years.
Amen. Let's pray.
Father in heaven, grant us the faith to trust, obey, and not be afraid. Bless this congregation of your people, that we, having been enlightened on the blessings of the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ in great power and glory, that we will become effective witnesses for Him. Bless your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.